attic. Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.
Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible. As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word, I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
Hello, thank you for joining us today. We're picking up where we left off yesterday, and we've been looking at a series that I took out of from the healing school, where we spoke about how to believe and receive. And one of the things we found out that was a hindrance to our receiving was when we are in unforgiveness. It's one of the main reasons that people do not receive the blessings that are available to them. And we know that Galatians 5:6 says faith works by love. And love would never hold a grudge, would never have unforgiveness. And so we looked at that. We saw in Mark 11 that God said, if you don't forgive, neither will Father forgive you. When you stand praying for whatever it is you're believing Him for, He says, you've got to forgive, or else God can't forgive you. That means it'll hinder my prayer. Even in the Lord's Prayer, as the people call it, our Father which art in heaven, that's actually the model for prayer. God said at the end of that prayer, forgive those that trespass against you as you forgive them. He says, then He will forgive you, because if you don't, He won't. And so we've got to get to this place where we forgive people, release them, and let them go. We're looking at another scripture now where He said, when you bring your gift to the altar, if anyone's got aught against you, leave your gift at the altar and go make right with that person. So God's very big on this thing of forgiveness. When He hung on the cross and they were nailing Him to the cross, He said, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So I want us to learn what God wants us to do about this forgiveness, and let it not hinder our prayers, and let our what we believe in God for, the promises of God, be manifested in our life without a hindrance. So let's pick up the service one more time.
The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, He loved us. In Mark 4, verses 18, He says, from verse 16 through 18, or through 19, while we were yet sinners, He loved us. It says, we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. Come on. So you know that you were a sinner when He came. And then when He came, you received Him. He loved you. You received Him. And bada bing, bada bang, you became a saint. He took your unrighteousness and made you righteous. That's it. But you were a sinner before that. You're no longer a sinner. If you're born again, you're not a sinner. You're a saint. Well, how can you say I'm a saint? I don't act like a saint. I know you don't. I've seen you acting. Thank God I hide my acting, because you might think I'm not a saint either. You understand? Don't let me be cut off when I'm going in to buy something in the drive-thru. You'll think, where's the sainthood gone? I'm getting better. I'm getting more patience. But it doesn't make me a sinner. I remain a saint. God put His righteousness on me. And Paul wrote to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Corinth. And he also said, the saints greet you, and the saints with me say goodbye, and the saints are saying hello. Paul said those words, the Apostle Paul. So saints aren't dead only. Saints are living. Come on. You don't become a saint when you get to heaven. You become a saint, yeah, and you get to, oh, heaven. That's a big word for some of you. You see, when you become righteous, He makes you righteous. The Bible says He sanctifies you. That means He separates you, sets you apart for His glory. He makes you holy. Nothing unrighteous, nothing unholy can get into heaven. So He makes me holy. He sanctifies me. He makes me righteous. And I become a saint from sinner to saint. Amen. And so I don't become a saint when I get to heaven. I don't become perfected when I get to heaven. I become a perfected because of the finished work of the cross when I receive it by faith. Come on. Too many years I thought that sainthood was only someone who had created a certain amount of miracles, I think 2 miracles, and you were canonized and all kinds of stuff, and then you became a saint. Years after you died. Listen, if he didn't become a saint before he died, he didn't get into heaven. Ooh. The truth sets a person free. Amen. Regardless of your theology, read, check what I'm telling you. Study it out. Amen. Righteousness is sainthood. And only Jesus can make you righteous. Only through the blood of the Lamb can you become righteous. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So when he washed me and made me brand new, gave me a new creation, recreated spirit, I became a saint. You see, Adam and Eve were saints before they fell. Because they were righteous. But then when they fell, they became sin conscious. And that's why they hid behind the tree. Because righteousness and sin don't go together. And you can read all about that in the gospel. It says, what right has righteousness to do with unrighteousness? I'm telling you. And so you don't become a saint once you get to heaven. You become a saint, yeah, in the earth. Then you get to heaven. Ooh. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So now look here, Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and then remember that your brother has something against you. Verse 24, leave your gift at the altar. And go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Wow. I don't even have a thing against him. He's got against me. God takes it very seriously. Very seriously. And let me just tell you something. A lot of unforgiveness is brought on because of miscommunication or misunderstanding. Yeah. You say, yeah. They didn't mean it the way you took it. You just got issues in your life, and so I'm going to take it the way I want to take it. Miscommunication causes 95% of problems in the church and misunderstandings. Come on. Pastor says something. He's been serving you for 25 years, 30 years, and he says one thing that you just can't see what he means, and you pull out and you tell everyone about it. Ooh. That's unforgiveness. Now you go to another church, and you're bringing your gift to the altar. And God says, that strange fire you bring into the altar. Oh, Jesus, help me. Amen. Look what God said in Ephesians 4, and it's verse 26. Look what he says in the New King James. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do you see that? He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. What does that mean? It means be quick to forgive. Quick to forget. And quick to move on. Don't go to bed with unforgiveness on your anger. Listen, if you're angry at someone, you're in unforgiveness and you're in pride. The two things God hates the most. When you are in anger, you're in unforgiveness. And you go to bed angry like that, that means you have not released it, let it go, and forgiven that person. Whether it's a spouse, a child, a co-worker, a boss, a president, a prime minister, I don't care. There's so many people that are against President Trump right now, and really, all he's done as far as I can see, oh, he's a racist. Listen, he's a this, he's a that. I don't care what you people think right now, I care what God thinks. Is he for abortion? No. Is he for the wrong things? No. Is he for Israel? Yes. I support the man. Period. Regardless of, but he's a racist. You're in unforgiveness towards your president? And some of you have come like me from other countries, and we're holding unforgiveness against a place where they let me in, let me live a good life. And God says, you go to your person and forgive them. Or, if they got something against you, forgive them. Or don't be angry. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. There are people going to bed so full of hatred towards our government, towards Mike Pence, towards whoever it is. And we wonder, why am I still sick? Why am I battling with this? What's going on in my life? Forget politics. Forget about politics. And we didn't, look, when we voted, when people voted for Donald Trump, they were not voting for a priest or a minister. They were voting for a politician who can get the country sorted out. And regardless of what you say, his number one priority is to take care of America and Americans. And up until the coronavirus, everything was perfectly exploding for our benefits. And we're going to bed angry? And God says, don't let anger, don't let, listen, he says here, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. We speak about people we don't like to everybody, especially in politics. We tell everyone how bad that person is. And God's saying, listen, those are words cursing someone. You think God's pleased with that? He said, if you can't forgive, I'm not forgiving. Come on, get this straight. Come on, forget politics, get into the kingdom of God now. Well, he doesn't like abortion. He's pro-life. So am I. So's God. Who are you going to choose? You choose. Now look at verse 27. Why did he say, be angry and sin not? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27. Nor give an opportunity or a place to the devil. When you have got unforgiveness, you're opening up the gates to the devil and saying, come in and beat me up. Wow. Pastor, you're too much in my face today. Yeah, you don't want truth. What do you want? I know most of you are receiving this, but there may be some that say, well, this is just wrong. You got scriptures. We got scriptures. God is a God of forgiveness. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Before he faced the devil, he had to make sure he was in no unforgiveness. You've got to be kidding me. So he says, when you're angry and you sin, here's what he's inferring. He's saying, you let the sun go down on your wrath, then you're giving an opportunity or place to the devil to operate in your life. And now you're wondering, why did I pray for that? I didn't get it. What's going on? You got a little bit of unforgiveness or you got a whole lot of unforgiveness. Either way, he says, get rid of it. If you have got aught, that tiny bit of unforgiveness, towards anyone, forgive them whilst your Father can't forgive you. Now, some of you might think, well, that's a real harsh word. Those of you that like the word are going to grow. You're going to say, you know what? I have had unforgiveness. I am in unforgiveness. I didn't even realize I'm in unforgiveness. I didn't realize I was. When I was praying for that pastor, repent. Let him repent. He needs to repent. He needs to, and I want my flesh to have its pound of glory, that he needs to know what he did to me was wrong. That was my motive deep down. Even though I'm saying, oh Lord, let him repent in the most nice voice I can. On my knees. Father, let him repent. Let things change in his life. Let him see the errors of his ways. And then God said, when are you going to forgive him? After 6 months of praying that, when are you going to forgive him? And then he said to me, if you had forgiven him, you would have asked and prayed for his restoration. I don't want to see him restored at that stage. He first has to get beat up and know what he did wrong. Then you can restore him. That's how we are. Come on. I didn't see it, but when I saw that, I said, oh my God, this is serious stuff. And I forgave him. And the second I released him and started praying for his restoration, he started getting restoration. He's restored totally now. He started getting restoration, as far as I know. He started getting restoration, and the ministry that God put in my path started to blossom and flourish. Come on. Come on, I got restored. I got restored by letting him go. This is serious stuff. I'm telling you, even though what he did to me, I felt was totally wrong. Even though the way that you got the divorce was completely wrong. Even though they had an affair and you were married to them, it was totally wrong. Yes, it was. I'm not saying it wasn't wrong. I'm not saying they were wrong to do that. I'm not saying all of that. But you still should not hold on to the unforgiveness. Even though the Bible says, only for this reason can you get divorced if someone's been unfaithful to you. Only then. But God still prefers that you restore it and get it right. But if you got a divorce because of that, you still got to forgive them. Let them go. They know not what they doeth, or even they know what they doeth and they continue to do it. Lord, restore that person. Help them. Restore them.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO.